And welcome in to the Wednesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody is doing well. Joe Rex Road, what's going on? Do we still have those AirPods intact at this point of the week?
Well, I haven't taken them out of my box, so okay. I mean, I guess I could probably be using them now, but if they're in a huge box in my bag as they are, then they can't be lost. So that's good. A win. They can't be used, but they can't be lost.
There is sound logic there. Michelle Knezovic, what's going on? How are you doing?
Doing good this morning, guys. The neck is feeling better. We used some Icy Hot, so I'm doing good, guys, over here.
That's good to hear.
Did a little Shaquille O'Neal Icy Hot endorsement. I like it.
Shaquille O'Neal, the guy who endorses absolutely everything.
He does. I think Shaq's doing all right for himself. Joe, it's been a slow start to bowl season for the SEC. They're 0-4 in bowl games so far, including Mississippi State and the Crazy Pirate just getting thrashed last night by Texas Tech, 34-7, the final score. Houston takes down Auburn, 17-13. Obviously, earlier last week, UCF beat Florida and Army beat Missouri. So, not a great start for the SEC in bowl season so far.
Yeah, what does it mean? Does it mean Bama and Georgia are about to, does it mean the Vols are about to get boilered up? I don't know.
Could be.
I wonder, do Texas Tech fans hate Mike Leach? Is he a reviled person there? I mean, he did great things there.
He did. He had some strong words for the old Texas Tech, leadership the other day in his press conference. He did not hold back in his lawsuit that's been ongoing that I was unaware about. He was not shy about that the other day in his press conference, as he's typically not shy.
Yeah, they still owe me money, man. Get your money, Mike, but hey, we can't let players opt out of the bowl game. That would be an American disaster. I got to give credit to my buddy Kyle Tucker. I don't know if you saw his tweet last night, but I will, I will read it for you now because it's worth me. Now, this is something I hope everyone gets. This is going back. In fact, this goes back to a bowl game I covered. Kyle Tucker: Texas Tech taking Mike Leach to the shed, so to speak, seems fitting. Back in what year was that? That would have been 2009. I covered the Michigan State Texas Tech Alamo Bowl, and of course, Craig James' son Adam, the huge controversy, got Mike Leach fired. He got mad at him and supposedly made him, I guess, sit in a shed or sit in a closet.
Yeah.
To punish him. So there you go.
Nicely done, Kyle. That's good stuff there. Bowl season, the gift that keeps on giving. At least these games have been played so far.
Well, it's been a little bit of a run here of games played. I mean, NC State, my gosh, man. NC State sports not having a great year. They're angry apparently at UCLA for backing out of their bowl game. So but yeah, we're on a run of bowl games being played. Hopefully that continues.
Joe, some tough news last night, and I was kind of doing some stuff around the house yesterday afternoon and logged on to Twitter a little bit later last night, and John Madden passing away unexpectedly at the age of 85. Obviously, John Madden, a name that most football fans are very familiar with, both from his time in the NFL as a coach, certainly as his time as a broadcaster who – was really energetic in the broadcast booth. Him and Pat Summerall calling games together. Later, him and Al Michaels calling games together. Was really a treat growing up watching football to watch. And, if you're a younger listener this morning, what you probably associate him most with is the video game as well in Madden. So you're talking about one of the people in life that have had a tremendous impact on the NFL and a tremendous impact on the game of football as well. Gone last night at the age of 85. Really tough to see.
Yeah, rest in peace, John Madden, legend. And, I think that the video game obviously takes his name from generation to generation and will continue to. You know, if you're lucky enough to, I mean, the Summerall Madden game, that was for many years, that was the game. Okay, what's the big game this week? Okay, that's the big game. You know, if you had Summerall Madden, that's the game. Now it would be, I guess, Nance Romo would be that's your number one CBS crew, but I don't even know. What's your number one Fox crew?
Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, probably.
Well, I guess that's true. That's right. Yeah. So you know, it's clear who the top crews are, but there's different. Yes, your Monday night crew. You know, after the early days of Monday Night Football, with Cosell and Gifford and Meredith, I mean, there was nothing bigger than a John Madden called game, and it was the most enjoyable experience of a color commentator I think you could have in sports. You know, because it was a combination of really great analysis of a great coach, of a Super Bowl winning coach, but also just hilarious observations. He was just awesome. And of course, he's riding the Madden Cruiser to every game because he wouldn't fly, and he was just this quirky, just awesome guy. And I think people do forget and don't realize what a great coach he was. He had to get out of coaching too early, or who knows, you know, what his coaching legacy would be.
Well, that's the thing that I didn't quite realize. I mean, look, I knew he was a great coach and I knew he won a Super Bowl, but his record as a coach is 103-32-7. Like, that's a pretty absurdly good record. It's a 759 winning percentage. And according to ESPN, that's the best among NFL coaches with more than 100 games in the history of the sport. I mean, it's pretty impressive. So look, I knew he was a great coach. I guess I didn't know it was that good.
Yeah, I mean, just absolutely. And, of course, that was just absolutely the glory days of Kenny Stabler and Jack Tatum and Cliff Brandt. You know, I mean, it was Al Davis, Silver and Blackman. There's still this passion today. That's another thing you could – you know, you think Al Davis first, of course, but you look at, like, the Raiders fan base now and what that is and what that brand is. I hate to use that word even, you know, but that's what it is. I mean, it's like they can move anywhere and they've got this huge following, and that goes back to him too. So there's a new documentary, which I haven't seen, which I've heard is great.
Yeah.
That just came out, and I'm really looking forward to seeing, but you know, there's a lot of stuff out there from NFL films on John Madden, and you know, the stuff from his coaching days. I mean, just hilarious. I mean, it's probably what you would expect if you're familiar with his, you know, work in the booth. It's just, he's just hilarious. I mean, it is outstanding and obviously very effective. So, man, I mean, just one of the biggest names honestly, in American sports history.
It used to have me rolling. I mean, we'd be watching games, whether it was on, you know, Sunday Night Football as he got a little bit later in his career, but even, you know, back early with Summerall, and, you know, you'd get the telestrator up there and he'd just start, you know, firing things off left and right. By the time he was done, like, trying to explain something, you'd have like 9 or 10 yellow lines on there, just pointing in all different directions. It was hilarious to watch him use that telestrator. He had a lot of fun with that thing.
Yes. And not just for, in fact, I retweeted something last night. It was like Troy Aikman's inability to grow facial hair. He did the telestrator on that last night. So going back to the 90s, and of course the turducken.
Yeah.
That was the thing too, you know, growing up, unfortunately, as a Lions fan, you knew, you know, well, you basically, you knew like every other year you were going to get Summerall and Madden calling your team's game. You knew that for sure on Thanksgiving Day.
Oh yeah.
And you'd have the turducken, and they actually won quite a few of those when they had Barry Sanders. So that was pretty sweet.
It was sweet. I was, you know, when I saw this news last night, I always, for some reason, have you ever seen Little Giants that came out like the mid-90s with Rick Moranis as the coach?
My favorite movie ever, Robbie. When I saw that tweet, it just warmed my heart.
It's awesome. I mean, he makes that cameo in there, and like Bruce Smith is in there. Emmett Smith is in there when they come by and help coach the team. I watched me a little 5-minute clip of John Madden in Little Giants last night. Movie star as well.
Yes, that is awesome. That is awesome that he's in that. You know, on the coaching front, so I'm reading from Marcus Thompson, our guy at The Athletic out in Oakland. I didn't realize this. So Madden lost 5 out of 7 AFC title games. And of course, I mean, shoot, I was just at Pittsburgh Airport last week where they still have the Franco. They have like a statue of the Franco Harris, you know, immaculate catch. I mean, yeah, the Franco Harris reaching down for the ball. You know, think about being on the other side of that. I mean, that's, you know, you're going to and probably winning the Super Bowl that year if that wacky play doesn't happen to you as John Madden. You lost to Namath the year that they won it all. So, you know, you think about they had dominant, great teams and actually had just brutal, you know, luck in the playoffs and to get to the AFC title game 7 straight years, you know, and then of course they end up getting past the Steelers in 76 and beat the Vikings for the title. But I mean, it could be a different legacy as well had a couple of those games gone the other way.
Well, it's kind of crazy to think about. I mean, he's not been on a network, I think, since 2009 in terms of actually doing work and broadcasting a game. So, I mean, you know, kids that are Brennan's age or, you know, my little brother's age, they probably don't have much of a concept of who John Madden is in terms of the broadcaster, which number one makes me feel really old. But number two, hopefully with the documentary that you mentioned and, you know, some stuff on YouTube as well, they're able to see some of the stuff that John Madden did because it was pretty awesome. And look, I mean, I think there are a lot of really good color commentators that I enjoy for different reasons nowadays. Nobody is quite like John Madden though.
Yeah. And I would endorse, I don't know. I've seen, you know, recent versions of Madden, which are cool. And they got different announcers on there. And it's very much like, it's like watching a real game. They should do like the next version, like Madden on the call, shouldn't
yeah,
like they
throwback? Yeah,
or is that an option already? I don't know, but oh, they could
pull it off. Yeah, I think they could pull it off. Ty on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says the annexation of Puerto Rico play in Little Giants.
There you
John go, John Madden helped design that. It's good stuff, man. Rest in peace to John Madden. Obviously, some tough news. Lived a great life. Obviously, really important to the game of football, and gone at the age of 85. Yesterday, we found that news out. So tough news yesterday on John Madden. When we come back, we'll get into the Titans. Look ahead at this week as the matchup comes closer against the Miami Dolphins. Some tough news, not only with the Titans, but around the league in terms of COVID-19. Some new protocols as well. We'll get into all that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. ESPN The Game Nashville and Newton Motor Group have teamed up this holiday season with Souls for Souls to help children in Middle Tennessee with Souls for Music City. Souls for Souls works with our schools and community partners to deliver new shoes to kids who need them the most, and Newton Motor Group will be making a donation to Souls for Souls for every test drive at any of Newton Motor Group's 4 locations. You can help us achieve our goal of getting shoes to 100 kids in Nashville experiencing homelessness. For more information and to donate, visit thegamenashville.com/shoes. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you, looking ahead to the Titans and the Dolphins. And Joe Rex Road, some more news on the COVID-19 list yesterday for the Titans. Jayon Brown added to the list. Denico Autry added to the list a little bit after Jayon Brown yesterday as well. So they join Lawan, Nate Davis, Kendall Lamb, Julio Jones, Buster Skrine, Bud Dupree, and Nick Westbrook-Ikhina on the COVID-19 list. Now, also some changes yesterday to the protocols in the NFL as well, which could have a pretty big impact this week. Carson Wentz testing positive for COVID-19 yesterday as well. As we know, he is not vaccinated. That was a big story earlier this season with Carson Wentz. And now that the CDC has changed their recommendation from 10 days of quarantine to 5, the NFL has adopted a change to their protocols as well. So Tom Pelissero putting this out there, even with unvaccinated players who tested positive in COVID-19, including Carson Wentz and Darius Leonard, they're now eligible to play Sunday, provided symptoms have improved. So, a 5-day model of sorts for the NFL they've adopted to the CDC. So, you know, this time a little bit, I guess not this time, 19 hours ago yesterday when Carson Wentz tested positive, everybody thought he was just out on Sunday, and that's not necessarily the case anymore for Carson Wentz and the Colts.
Yes, if you are a devout Colts hater or like you're a fan of a team chasing the Colts, yeah, I mean, you look at yesterday and you're like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's Carson Wentz is out. It's the 10-day thing for unvaxxed. And then, boom, they changed the and that was a little Madden. That was a little Madden tribute there. Boom. Boom. They changed the guidelines. They go because the CDC recently went down from 10 to 5. The NFL, I mean, this is a huge change. So, first of all, let's just take you to the Titans. Every single player who has been on the list, I think they're at 9 now, or that 9 or 10 now, currently. You can probably expect them all to be there Sunday now. Because not only do – and again, I think most of them are vaxxed anyway. But even if not, it's 5 days if you're unvaxxed. And you don't have to test out of it. Yep. That's a big thing not to be lost here. You don't have to test out of it anymore. You just have to not have symptoms, which, of course, also brings up another thing of, do you have symptoms? No, I'm good. You know, I mean, but
my asthma's flaring up. Yeah.
You know, but I mean, this is a massive change, which to me, I mean, look, we talked to Charles Robinson yesterday and it's clear, you know, the NFLPA, I mean, there's a lot of just total fatigue with this and just like change the rules so that, you know, everybody can play. I mean, it's basically what is happening here. So CDC changes the rules, NFL does. I would expect other pro sports leagues probably to do some, you know, something like this. But yes, for Carson Wentz, you know, he's, I think, going to be able to play Sunday now. Again, he has to be asymptomatic. But this is a massive change. And you look at, let's see, what are the numbers? So the December total now, and this is even before all of yesterday's stuff, more than 500 players. More than 100 went on the list Monday. So we're seeing what's happening. This variant is just, I mean, it's wildfire. Also, so far, the information is that, you know, it's not as dangerous. That's the information so far. Information changes in science on a daily, hourly basis, right? But this seems to be appropriate. Obviously, it's good for the product. Now, I think if you're like a Saints fan, you're like, golly, so we just had to watch Ian Book play quarterback, huh?
Yeah.
And we're going to be out of the playoffs, but hey, the Colts are good. But I agree with what Charles said yesterday. Look, I mean, these rules are going to change, and there's some teams that are going to get hit with nasty luck, and I think the Colts right now are getting a big dose of good luck. But you know what? Everybody's doing the best they can. It's a freaking virus, and I think what the NFL is doing is the right thing.
Well, we talked about it yesterday. I mean, if it continued on the path that it was on and the protocols remained the same and look, they had already adjusted the protocols with asymptomatic vaccinated players, and you were still having, you know, I mean, go look at that Browns game the other day. I mean, they had a massive amount of people that just weren't playing in that game. So, you know, we talked about it yesterday. If it continued on that path, I mean, the playoffs were going to be affected. Like, some team was just going to get eviscerated in the playoffs due to COVID-19 positive. Now, look, that could still happen. I mean, you could have, you know, something happen on a Friday where you just may be out of luck at that point when your game's on a Saturday. So this doesn't totally prevent that from happening still. But I guess, you know, at least now if you know, an outbreak happens on a Tuesday, you've got a shot to get back in there and to be able to play by the weekend. So, look, there's not a perfect solution to this, I don't think. I know the, you know, if you left it up to the players right now, a lot of them would just say, yeah, just let us get out there and play and don't even test us. Don't test anybody. Let's just let us go out there and play if they can play, which, you know, you can debate on whether or not that's a good idea. But I'm not surprised after we saw the CDC kind of change their recommendations that this happened pretty quickly with the NFL.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, look, I mean, the Titans could still have a very important player, you know, test positive, go on the list for the rest of the week. Again, even if that player is vaxxed, now that is different. That's negative test to get out. Yep. And my understanding as I read everything about the change, that's the same. But I'm a little, that's where I'm a little bit confused though, because if asymptomatic after 5 days are just back for being unvaccinated, I'm sorry, after 5 days are back after being asymptomatic, are vaccinated able to just be asymptomatic and return, or is it still, that's where I don't actually know. And if anybody has an answer on that, I'm trying to read everything I can on this. Like, I haven't seen anything where it's changed. It seems kind of weird that the vaxxed would have to be double negative, as has been the case, to get back out there. That's an interest. I don't know. That doesn't seem fair, frankly. But we'll try to get clarification on that. As of now, as I understand it, someone on the Titans, let's say, goes on the list here in the next couple of days, you know, they could still potentially play Sunday with negative tests too.
Yep.
And I don't, I have not seen anything where that has changed, but I do wonder if it has changed. It seems like that should be altered some too here.
I would think so. I would think that would probably be the case. We'll do some more digging on that front. I will say though, Titans fans had about a 3-hour window yesterday where it looked like, Sam Ehlinger may be the quarterback for the Colts as they take on their game this weekend. Maybe still be the case, but Carson Wentz still at least has a chance at this point.
Well, Zach Kiefer, who was in Indy for us at The Athletic, he tweeted out that they were calling Philip Rivers, I was like, oh, man. I mean, Philip Rivers, he's been out there coaching a high school team, and then, man, you get the Thanksgiving and Christmas, you know, buffets and everything. I mean, that could have been interesting, you know?
That would have been very interesting. Big, old man River coming in there. I got a texter that says, how is the NFL testing people? Is everyone getting tested every day, or are they just getting tested if they have symptoms? There have been some changes to that. So now vaccinated players, if they're not showing symptoms, I think for the most part, they're not being tested. Is that right? Well,
right, except for there's like this targeted testing, which is like randomly pick a position group. So so for the most part, no, they are not. If you're vaccinated and you're asymptomatic, you know, essentially for the most part, you're not getting tested. Yeah, I'm trying to find this because it just, I don't know. I suppose you could still say, okay, the difference between testing out, not testing out, is that, 5 days is still 5 days.
Right.
So I guess you could still say, well, with the vax, you know, it could be the next day in theory, or I guess the next 2 days in theory, but I don't know. That seems a little bit, contingent on players being asymptomatic. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not sure about that. That seems a little weird if they haven't changed it for unvaxxed. Regardless, we'll figure that out. And clearly this is a big, big change.
Big change, and could affect the Titans as soon as this week with guys continuing to go on the COVID list. We'll see if any of those can come back as they take on the Miami Dolphins coming up on Sunday. Speaking of the Dolphins, we'll look ahead to that matchup a little bit when we come back. Did the Titans unlock an offensive game plan on Thursday night against San Francisco? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Road, it is a big day, as you heard in that promo there. The Cheez-It Bowl is tonight. I've been waiting on this game for a long time. Iowa State and Clemson. Dabo looked really happy to be there yesterday, too.
I mean, Dabo did have a huge smile in front of the massive bowl of Cheez-Its.
He did.
Good for the Cheez-It bowl, you know, for really bringing the product out, man. You know, it's like I've covered the Outback Bowl before. You know, you bring out those blooming onions at halftime. Pretty awesome to every seat. But like, it's not like we had, like, steak drippings at the press conference. But Cheez-It bowl, I mean, they bring out the Cheez-Its. And, I mean, we all love Cheez-Its. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, it's a first-class product, first-class bowl game, and glad to see this matchup between Iowa State and Clemson taking place a little bit later today. So, Joe, as we look ahead to the Titans and the Dolphins, obviously, the number one question right now on the offensive side of things is, what does the availability look like? You don't have Taylor Lewan right now. Nate Davis, Kendall Lamb, Julio Jones, Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, all currently on the COVID list. So, as has typically been the case this year for the Titans, the number one question is availability heading into this game. But beyond that, my question for you is, do you think the Titans and Todd Downing may have found something that is sustainable on Thursday night against San Francisco in terms of their offensive game plan? And Elijah Campbell talked to you a little bit about this last Friday. A.J. Brown obviously took over that game. He was targeted 16 times. He had 11 receptions for 145 yards and a touchdown in that game, and showed that, you know, he was a high-volume receiver in that game, and that when he gets rolling, he's pretty difficult to stop. My question for you is, based on the way the offense is played, the passing attack without A.J. Brown that has been largely non-existent, is that the game plan for the Titans as they move forward here, is to just throw the ball to A.J. Brown early and often and see what he can do?
Hey, before I answer that question, I do have clarification.
Okay.
So nothing has changed. It's basically for either side, backs or unbacks, 5 days, asymptomatic, you're back. So again, for the Titans on the list right now, up till now, regardless of vax status, again, most of the team is vaccinated anyway, but you know, if they're asymptomatic, they'll play, but you still just have the possibility of course, testing out of that. And that can be a 1 day test out. And it's, of course, not just the negative test. It's also the CT test, which is basically how contagious you are. So that's still there. So, I mean, it really levels the playing field between backs and unbacks. But, I mean, 5 days basically now is, of course, like worst. Well, I shouldn't say it's worst case. You can still be symptomatic. But hopefully that clears it up. As for the Titans game plan, well, look, it's got to be heavily involving A.J. Brown. I mean, there's been times, I want to say, was it the Bills game last year? You know, amidst this 97-year COVID, thing that we've had now.
Yes.
Where the Titans, of course, were the scourge of the NFL and needed to be, you know, kicked out of the league and all that stuff and fined $8 million. I want to say they basically, I mean, it was like, how are they going to, with their passing game, they were missing Corey Davis, I think.
They're
missing a few people, right? It was like, boy, Bills know that it's just A.J. Brown, and what are you going to do? Well, you get the ball quickly into his hands, and he makes plays. If you're a great player like that, especially strong off the line, hard to press, you win quickly, and then you're powerful after the catch, as he is all those things. I mean, he's going to have a chance to make plays. So no question, that's got to be part of the game plan. If you go back to when, you know, before A.J. Brown got hurt, they were leaning heavily on him. He was starring as much as Derrick Henry in some of those wins during that great stretch that put them in the position they're in today. So I think it's absolutely got to be a lot of A.J. Brown. I guess we'd have a bigger question today about who he'd be complimented by Sunday. I mean, I assume they'll all be there, though, which is big for the Titans.
Yeah, I mean, that would be great if they would all be there and be available. I mean, the other part of this is you're taking on a defense in Miami that it's pretty good defense. I mean, they're really good against the run, but their secondary is pretty good. I mean, you've got Howard out there. They've got some good players on the back end. So, I mean, look, this is no secret heading into this game. Obviously, they're going to try to do whatever they can do to slow down A.J. Brown. We know that. Everybody knows that heading into this game. Now, A.J. Brown, I think, is good enough to overcome that to some degree, but I would assume there's going to be a pretty heavy amount of attention paid to A.J. Brown by the Dolphins on Sunday. And you got to find a way, if you're Tannehill and him and Todd Downing, to overcome that.
Yes. And look, the Dolphins are one of those teams. We've talked about this. So when you're playing teams, you know, does the team in question, does the defense in question have, you know, a guy who they're like, boom, you go with that guy, travel with him. And I think you will see a fair amount of Xavier Howard.
Yep.
Just following A.J. Brown around. And the Dolphins probably feel, you know, for all the stuff with him and he was unhappy and they were going to trade him on stuff. I mean, part of this winning streak as you said, has been, you know, very good defense. They got some good players on that defense, you know, and the Jalen Phillips draft pick is working out well. You can see, I mean, he's a talented guy out of the same city, out of the U. And Raekwon Davis, I mean, they've got a good young defense, but I mean, he is one of the best corners in the game. I don't know where he rates, but top five.
Yeah.
We feel safe saying that top five corner in the NFL right now. I would say he's right around there. Yeah. So it's a big deal for the Dolphins to be able to do that. And then you don't necessarily have to, you know, devote extra people as much as other teams do. You don't have to maybe game plan as much as other teams do to stop him. So that'll be, I mean, that's a prime time matchup right there when it's a man, you know, match coverage and it's Howard on Brown.
Well, the other part of that is, you know, and Lewis Riddick was talking about this the other night on the Monday Night Football broadcast, Miami, they love to bring the house and they love to send different blitz pressures at you. And they do it early and often. And, you know, they've got a good front as well, obviously. I mean, look, it's tough for me to take much away from the Monday night game because it's Ian Book and the Saints and that offensive line was not good. But look, this is, I think, fair to say the strength of their team is their defense. And they're going to bring a lot of pressure towards Ryan Tannehill. And it would be great to have A.J. Brown on some quick access throws very quickly at the line of scrimmage to try to combat that as well. And I'm sure that's going to be part of the game plan for Todd Downing and the Titans as well. But this is a stiff challenge defensively that the Titans are going to be going up against with Miami coming in here.
Yeah. I mean, I anticipate probably a somewhat similar kind of game as the last game. You know, I mean, I think both of these defenses kind of have the edge. And again, that's such a weird thing to say about a Titans game. Because last year, how many games was like, well, I really like the Titans offense in this matchup, but I really like the other team's offense in this matchup too. So, hey, should be fun. Should be high scoring. Now it's like, wow, you know, Randy Bullock, get ready. Cause it's going to be like 17-16 with a minute left. But I mean, that's the kind of game I think we're going to see. The Dolphins, you flip it around. I mean, they don't run the ball at all. I believe they're the worst rushing offense in the NFL. So, you know, and they're, you know, Tua can make plays. Are kind of a, I mean, their pass game is kind of, you know, they're very much, it seems to me, like a controlled passing game.
Oh, yeah.
And Tua, you know, gets it out fast and spreads it around and dinks and dunks. But, you know, that's the type of attack that when the Titans are right, when the defense isn't just playing well, but is also ball hawking, you got a chance to turn that team over. And Tua, I mean, if you're the Titans DBs this week, you've got to be like, you know, this guy's going to throw one to us. We just have to catch it.
Well, exactly. And, you know, you mentioned they don't run the ball a lot. They basically, they're short pass. I mean, Jalen Waddle, he's going to end up catching like 130 balls this year at this rate just because.
He's running game. Yeah.
He's basically their running game. Like they throw it to him at the line of scrimmage and see what he can do. So, I mean.
And he's good.
He's very good. We've talked a lot about Jalen Waddle. He is a very good player. I don't think there's any question about that. But, you know, the number two rush defense of the Titans, I don't think that's in much danger of getting hurt too much in terms of the stats coming up on Sunday.
And I apologize to the Dolphins. They're actually just 30th, not 32nd in the NFL in rushing. They're also 30th in yards per play, 4.83. But what's really weird, you know, the Titans just came off playing the best red zone offense in the NFL, held them to 2-for-4. That was the Niners. You know, the Dolphins are 5th in red zone O and they're 8th in goal to go offense. So that to me says, like, schematically, you know, that they're really good down there. Because again, they just haven't really been able to sustain a lot with the run game. Also, you know, look, Tua, I don't know what Tua is going to be. The mistakes are just, they're too frequent. It's only a second year. You got to keep that in mind. But he's still, his accuracy, you know, I mean, you know, the zip and accuracy on his ball, which is why I thought he was going to be a great player in the NFL. I'm not ruling that out yet. But that's probably part of the answer there to why they're so good in the red zone.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Got a texture that says, I'm so happy Michelle has seen Little Giants. That makes up for the absurd amount of movies that she hasn't seen that are classics, in my opinion. Good work, Michelle.
Thank you. Congratulations. Listen, Little Giants is my favorite movie ever. And then when the girl plays football, that's how I knew that I could be in sports. So favorite movie ever. Yeah, that's iconic.
The Icebox.
The Icebox. She was so sick. Yes. She was my idol.
Well, since
the movie came out before Michelle was born, which is even more impressive.
When did it come out?
94.
Yep. I was just waiting to come out and watch that movie.
Yeah, you're allowed to watch movies that came out before you were born. I mean, like The Godfather, I've seen 97 times. It came out before I was born. So
did it,
like,
Joe?
You were born in 1919. Oh, what are you talking about?
It did.
I'm kidding, yeah. Joe.
No, it was cool because like they had like the black and white quick things where they wound the thing. Oh, you know? Yeah. And then, like my first time at the theater with we paid a penny to get in, and it was actually in Technicolor. It was pretty amazing.
Some guy back there really getting a workout.
Yeah, yeah. So since we're on the sports movie topic, have you seen The Sandlot?
Come on. Of course I've seen The Sandlot.
Okay. Yeah, I just want to make sure.
I know,
okay?
But I'm just saying. Also, a
she's
penny
acting
for
as if it's like a if it's like a, just an absurd question to ask whether or not she's seen a movie.
How dare you?
You play baseball like a girl. Which is actually very good.
Good stuff. That's right. Good stuff. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Konezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Looking ahead to Titans and Dolphins, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Got a little NFL buy or sell coming up to begin the 7 o'clock hour as well. So looking forward to that. Tyler from Berry Hill on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, I'm really just waiting for AJ to test positive like 2 hours before the game, because that's the way this season has gone so far. It's really sad that I'm hoping that if Henry or Tannehill are going to test positive, it happens in the next 10 days. So they're safe for the playoffs. This coming from Tyler from Berry Hill on the text line.
Yeah, well, you got 515 or so NFL players who have tested positive. So, yeah, I mean, we're to the point where by the time we get to the playoffs, who knows what that number could be? And it's like, you know, like there, you almost, I mean, you don't want anyone to get it, but everyone is getting it. So teams who have had key guys get it recently at least have that sort of assurance that they should be available and fine in the postseason if they're a playoff team, of course.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess that's the silver lining that you could take. But I think certainly our eyes will continue to be on the COVID-19 list today. Like, I mean, with Danico Autry going on there yesterday, as well as Jayon Brown, like, I mean, it's not going to surprise me if there are more Titans on the list today. Just that's kind of the way things are going right now in the NFL, not just with the Titans.
Right. So I guess what you look at least is that all these guys should be fine now. What we don't know, and today starts to tell that story, is, for example, like how is Taylor Lewan's back? You know, that's a big thing. Yep. Extra rest, but you know, what's the deal with that moving forward? David Long, of course, in the hamstring, still looking at that. But yeah, I mean, I thought about the same thing there from the text line about, you know, what about, you know, you get somebody huge at the last minute, you know, and then you don't have time to test out of it. It's probably going to happen to somebody this week.
Got another text that says it's going to be really cold on Sunday as well. Highs in the mid 30s on Sunday between the Titans and the Dolphins. So not going to be any South Beach weather coming up on Sunday. We'll see how Tua and the Dolphins handle that. Do you think people make too big a deal of that, of, oh, the warm weather teams coming in and playing in the cold? I mean, they do play in the AFC East and have to go to Buffalo and New England every year.
Yeah, I remember with Tannehill in particular, the narrative, you know, when he was the Dolphins quarterback, because they always lost in New England. Of course, I was like, well, isn't it because the Patriots are awesome?
Yeah,
and like they pretty good. Maybe it's the weather. Maybe it could be. Now I'm looking at a high of 49 and partly sunny Sunday on my weather app, which still is. I mean, that's a huge. I mean, the high Saturday is going to be like 70. The high Sunday is going to be like 49. So obviously, this we have storms, we have a front, and it's going to change. But it's not like it's. I mean, that's still not bad for early January. So, but then again,
Our weather apps be that different?
What's yours? What you're saying?
Mine's saying the high on Sunday is going to be like 34.
And you have an iPhone?
Yeah, man.
What the heck? Okay, now I'm going to like refresh the app. That's so weird.
Yeah, maybe your locations are different, guys.
I mean, mine just is Nat. I just have a straight up Nashville one. You know, then you have the one wherever you are, right? But yeah, this is Sunday, 49 high, 23 low.
We need to get a meteorologist on the line right now and figure out what the temperature is going to be on Sunday.
Look, it doesn't matter anyway, because Ryan Tannehill is so motivated for this game. He's doing all these push-ups this week.
It's true.
Got like a big dolphin in front of him on the dartboard. I mean, it doesn't matter.
Guys, my low. To
like Eye of the Tiger over and over again.
My low says 24, high of 54. They are way off.
So we have three completely different temperatures on Sunday. What is going on here?
I didn't know that was a thing. I would assume that they would all be the exact same. What? Just like the weather app on your phone.
Yeah, man.
Like it's mine's not like a special app that you added. Like it's just like the weather app, right?
Well, mine's the Weather Channel. It's official.
Oh, mine's okay. Just well, the weather app.
Okay, well, at least that's different though, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like at least that's a different thing. I would think that like the iPhone weather app would say the same freaking thing for every iPhone. How weird.
Well, Joe has an iPhone 7, so we'll say mine's correct.
That's true.
Low of 24.
Joe's is from January 2nd, 2016.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, mine is – I have an Atari iPhone, so it's a little bit off. ATEC. Yeah, ATEC. There you go.
good stuff there. Yeah, I mean, it's – I have, since that conversation we had yesterday on the show about Tannehill's motivation, I've just kind of been picturing Tannehill in like some meat locker somewhere, just – giving it to something like he's in Rocky IV, about to take on Ivan Drago. Good stuff.
There's no easy way out. Tannehill's like, yeah, we'll do more push-ups before the Dolphins come. Just the Dolphins are screwed, man. He's so motivated.
I guess I'm somewhat interested to hear what he has to say to that. I assume Tannehill going to be talking at some point today on Wednesday. Yep. If ever there was a time for him to say something, I would hope it would be today, but it's not going to happen. He's not gonna take that road.
No, I mean, I love my. I'll give you my predicted Cliffs notes. I love my time in Miami. Had a great time there. I wish it worked out better, and I'm just really happy where I am now.
Probably so.
But then he leaves the presser. Like, give me some more push-ups, oh, Dolphins.
JD text again says his high temperature says 32 and a low of 19 here from Sunday. So who knows what the weather's going to be on Sunday at Nissan Stadium? You have to show up to find out.
Well, clearly, you know, again, there's a front coming through, right? So you got a huge reduction in temperature. So I can see, you know, different projections, but just if you have an app on your iPhone, it should be the same thing. It's the same app. Is this like, this is like one of those weird things, like with Facebook. You know, like you text someone something about like, hey, like I, you know, need to go pick up some mayonnaise. And then all of a sudden you get a thing in your phone. Hey, how about Duke's mayonnaise is on sale at Target?
Yes.
You know, like we're all being watched. So maybe this weather is just like what we want the weather to be on Sunday. I don't know.
So let's assume that all the offensive linemen on the list come back this week. That's Lawan. You know, Saffold's already back in there. Kendall Lamb is on the list right now as well. Did Dylan Raiden show you enough in this game against San Francisco to where you think he should be active heading into this game, regardless of the situation?
I would say so. I would say so. I mean, look, I mean, I'm going to defer to Keith Carter on watching every single practice rep and breaking down every single game rep on film, along with Todd Downey. You know, I mean, I think that obviously they have way more information, but from what I saw, I think that was a step forward for him. We'll see where he takes it. Some people were bothered by the festival of lights that greeted his performance, but I thought he looked like a serviceable player, and it looked like a player who, if you watched him as I did in training camp July and August, late July, mostly August, and then you watch him the other night, it looked like a guy who's worked hard to get better. Still not thinking he's going to be, pushing anyone for a starting role, which you would hope a second round pick would do. But I would say that he probably earned himself active status. And look, there's just at any position, you still don't know as a coach until you see a guy in the game situation. Some people rise to that. Some people play better in practice than games. But I got to think he helped himself a lot.
Make sure you're tuning in later this morning at 8:45 for your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click and win a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. The Predators taking on the Washington Capitals tonight. We'll have that opportunity coming up for you a little bit later in the show at 8:45. When we come back, it is time for some NFL buy or sell. I've got some different topics I want to throw out there, get Joe Rexroad's opinion on. We'll do that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.